Hello and welcome to Dealcast, the weekly M&A podcast presented to you by Merger Market. I'm Juliana Needham. I'm a business journalist who's been covering M&A for a decade. In this episode, we're finding out about how the new government in Indonesia is likely to impact deal-making there. I'm joined by Mick Barza, who's an analyst for Merger Market based in Southeast Asia. Hi, Mick. Thanks for joining me today.
Hi, Juliana.
So to begin with, can you talk through the new government's approach to economic policy, please?
I think the short answer is continuity. Continuity from the incumbent president's Joko Widodo's policy, which is liberalizing the Indonesian economy. And I remember him, Prabowo Subianto, the president-elect, saying at an investment forum last month in Jakarta that he's open to business by welcoming more investments. And to be able to do that, they would need to, quote, clean up its act and, you know, improve efficiency, mitigate, if not eliminate, corrupt practices. So that would, you know, increase investors' confidence in Indonesia, and they would want to enforce the law and show investors, whether foreign or domestic, that they have equal footing on, you know, in terms of, you know, investments, and that they get the best protection and the best treatment under law. So Prabowo has also said that there will be new initiatives apart from, you know, continuing whatever Jokowi has been doing for Indonesia. So he mentioned that they're going to advance the green economy, so biofuel, diesel from palm oil, fuel from ethanol and all that. And on top of that, he mentioned about self-sufficiency in terms of food. So they would want to export food within 4 years, having learned, or shall I say, learning from China in terms of fighting poverty, and India as well in terms of tackling famine. He wanted to have more investments flowing into Indonesia, which would hopefully translate to jobs and get rid of hunger. And with that said, his government will look for the best and brightest of Indonesians and not shy away from decisive actions. So with all these, he's estimating he has quite a huge ambition that within the next 4 to 5 years, Indonesia can achieve 8% growth or even more.
Okay, so it all sounds like it's good news for the business community. But can you tell us what you've heard from your sources? How have they received these commitments from the new government?
I think the sentiments have been positive so far. It's not a surprise. You know, I've been talking to sources which candidate have, you know, these guys from the business community have supported. And, you know, they've been telling me that, you know, it's obvious that they've been supporting Prabowo from day one. And that's because, not because of who he is, but it's more of a promise of the continuity. And, you know, it's something, you know, very logical from the perspective of the business community to have something that's stable, to have something that's, you know, just a continuation from a previous government. So, you know, there's not much changes. So just business as usual. So, you know, in terms of, you know, reception from the business community, you know, it has been very positive. And, you know, we've seen that how the market reacted when the results were out, and the market just jumped. So, but they're still waiting for more clarity. So despite that, the next question would be, who will be the next finance minister? That would be, you know, that would determine the kind of government Indonesia will have. And also, so while there's some sort of a, you know, looking forward to the new administration, but on the other hand, you know, while there's so much positivity, you know, in terms of reaction in the market, ratings agencies like Fitch and Moody's are a bit wary about his expensive campaign promises, like free lunches for students and pregnant women. That's expected to cost about $28 billion. So, you know, the question is, how would he finance these programs? And, you know, this could lead to more expansionary fiscal policy. And, you know, he also mentioned that he would want to have an increase in tax ratio from the current 10%. So, you know, he wants to be in the same league of his neighbors, which hovers around 16%. And that would mean widening taxpayers. And I'm not sure how the business community reacts to that.
Yeah, and it's all very well to promise things when you're election campaigning, but it's whether you can actually deliver them when you're in government. Can you talk through how the new government's approach could influence deal making and even the IPO pipeline in Indonesia, please?
Sure. I think from the conversations I've had with advisors, I think what I'm irrespective of who takes charge of the next government, so whoever, whether it's Prabowo or whether it was candidate number one or number three, the thing is the foundation for more deals has been laid out by the incumbent president. So Jokowi has passed, his administration has passed the Omnibus Code, which, you know, liberalized, for instance, foreign investments. So, you know, we're now seeing several sectors that are open up to 99 or 100% to foreign investments, which we haven't had, you know, in previous precedents. And, you know, we all have these, developments such as downstreaming of industries. And now they're aiming at building an EV ecosystem, which needs a lot of foreign capital. And, you know, Jokowi has been the lead of these, shall we say, efforts by Indonesia to, you know, to improve its position in the global value chain. So, you know, regardless of whoever takes charge of the next government, you know, he just has to be there and continue whatever Jokowi has been doing in the past 10 years. So this means deal making will continue amid optimism. You know, the optimism is nice to have, but again, the foundation has been laid out by the previous government. And M&As will be opportunistic, with, you know, the focus is really the capital market's resilience to geopolitical factors and interest rates. It's quite impressive for Indonesia, despite all these geopolitical tensions, that the economy is still growing, despite, you know, the rate hikes. Still, there were deals that went through. And in terms of deal making, there are transactions that have to grow through just because Indonesia is growing and the digitalization of economy, which is really needed. Like, for instance, telco infrastructure. We need that to further connect Indonesians to one another. And, you know, that would support the human capital, that would support MSMEs as they shift from offline to online. So it's just, you know, it just makes sense for these deals to go through, whoever is there and whatever is happening externally.
And what about IPOs? Can we expect to see any in Indonesia anytime soon?
I'm not sure. IPO is a different, it's a different topic. And I would say IPO is much, you know, the markets are pretty bad in across regions in Southeast Asia, APAC wide. So, you know, that would be, you know, something I've been talking to bankers and, advisors about their thoughts about the IPO market, and even IPO candidates themselves. And they've been telling me that, you know, the market is quite bad, that, you know, they had to put their projects back into the back burner until, you know, there's a little bit of more confidence from the investor side, and, you know, valuation expectations are aligned.
And linked to the IPOs, could you talk a bit about the government's program on rationalization and the privatization of state-owned enterprises? Will any of those SOEs, the state-owned enterprises, be listed?
Yeah, certainly. I think, you know, after the election results were out, I think these SOEs are probably going to go back to the market, buying something, selling something, and IPOing something. That's what I've been, you know, told by my sources. And it's important to note, last month, Prabowo also mentioned something about rationalizing state-owned enterprises, and he said something about the state can regulate slash oversight. It does not have to be present in every sector of the economy, which is very indicative that, you know, things will be moving on the SOE side. And he hinted something about tourism being one of the sectors where government doesn't need to take a pioneering role, unlike in the 1950s. And he said something about, I don't think we need state-owned hotels. So I think we got some potential deals right there. And what I've been told is that, you know, whatever M&A, potential M&A transactions or IPOs, which has received approval from the incumbent government, will continue, you know, after the results are out and, you know, we finally know who's the next president, these will continue. So they're going to buy something, they're going to sell something, they're going to IPO something. It's just a matter of time.
Thank you. And a quick question to finish on. Mick, you mentioned hotels. What other deals are you expecting to see in the coming years?
As I mentioned before, telco infrastructure will be the likely deals that will pop out in the market this year or in the next 12 to 24 months. So what we're tracking, one of the deals that we're currently tracking is LinkNet's potential sale of its fiber optic business that's run by UBS. And we have another similar M&A deal, which is by Indosat. It's the telco services provider, which could launch a sale of a minority stake of its fiber optic business this month. So these two related deals, they're raising money to expand their fiber optic side of business. So again, that's within the context of, you know, spending more to build and to expand its telco infrastructure, digitalization of the economy. And then we have another deal by Bank Syariah Indonesia. It's the country's largest owned Islamic lender. They're seeking bank assurance partnership proposals, which could involve a joint venture instead of a plain distribution agreement, as we flagged in February. And we have another infrastructure deal, which is the sale of a 35% stake in Jasa Marga Transjawa Tol. This is a toll road project in the country that's owned by state-controlled toll road operator Jasa Marga. So, you know, these deals are, you know, some of the things that we're expected to happen this year.
Brilliant. We'll be keeping a close eye on it, Mick. Thanks very much. That was Mick Barza, who's an analyst for Merger Market. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Dealcast from Merger Market. If you've enjoyed the podcast, please follow it. And if you're listening through Apple, please rate and review the show. If you want to find out more about what we've been discussing, have a look at our show notes. Join us again next week.